Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Genomic sequencing of COVID-19 is proving to be crucial in how scientists track mutations and their spread. Dr. Jeffrey Barrett is director of the COVID-19 Genomics Initiative at the Sanger Institute, and he joins me on the line now. Good morning, Dr. Barrett.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. So what you and your team are doing is working on PCR tests and what you can learn from them. What kind of information are you able to extract?
That's right. So we take essentially the waste material after the PCR tests are done from around the UK, and we read the full genome of the virus, the 30,000 letters that make it up. And we've done that now for hundreds of thousands of tests over the course of the pandemic. And what we can learn is essentially using that information like a kind of barcode to track the virus as it moves from person to person and place to place. And that can be useful in trying to understand the sort of course of the epidemic. And more recently, also to find the relatively unusual events when some of those mutations, the small changes in the virus's genome, have a big biological effect. So, for example, the first big case was late last year, when we discovered the so-called B117 variant that spread from the southeast of England because it was much more transmissible than earlier versions of the virus. And that one has subsequently indeed gone on to spread around the world, including, for example, to Ireland.
So when we hear about variants becoming dominant or not, as the case may be, that's coming from the work that you and your team are doing.
Yes, that's the kind of thing that we're contributing to. My team's part of a big network in the UK called COG UK. And actually, starting really the beginning of this year, I think many countries around the world have begun to do more and more genome sequencing to contribute to this kind of global effort to identify and track variants of the virus.
So what do you know then about this so-called Indian variant? Is it more transmissible?
Well, it certainly looks to be at least as transmissible, probably a bit more than the B117 variant. And that in and of itself is a bit concerning because, as I just mentioned, the B117 moved around the world. We're watching the data really week by week now to see, is it much more, maybe 50% more transmissible than B117? That would be pretty bad news. I think that's possible, but unlikely. And of course, the other critical question, which we're just starting to get data on, is do the vaccines work as well against this new variant called B16172? And so far, the evidence is cautiously reassuring that the vaccines work well. It's not clear if exactly as well. But if that's true, then I think that means fundamentally the global plan of getting past this pandemic via vaccination should still be on track.
And what are you seeing in terms of reinfection rates and how variants are interacting with people who've previously had COVID?
Yes, that's another really important question and one that turns out to be difficult to answer. So we think there probably have been a reasonable number of reinfections around the world, but actually being certain that when someone tests positive twice, it's actually a brand new infection isn't that easy. So far, we have definitely seen some reinfections of this new variant, but we see that with all variants. And that's another thing that's, again, going back to vaccines, you'll see news reports sometimes of so-called breakthrough infections, people who have been vaccinated and get infected. That happens all the time. The vaccines are excellent, but none of them are totally perfect. And often when people who have been vaccinated or have previously been infected go on to get infected or reinfected, that second time is very mild, probably less likely to transmit onward, definitely less likely to end up in the hospital. And so even if occasionally we see stories of vaccinated or previously infected people becoming infected, it's usually not as bad as it might initially seem.
So when we're talking about this variant B16172, is it a question of preventing serious illness when it comes to vaccination versus preventing infection? So it might still infect people who are vaccinated but not make them very sick.
That's one possibility. I mean, the aim and hope is to reduce the number of infections and transmissions as much as possible. And it's, again, likely, we don't know yet, the vaccines will still help with that. But yes, fundamentally, the most important thing is, do the vaccines continue to provide very, very good protection against severe illness? And so far, the evidence is reassuring.
We've heard here in this country about teams like yours extracting information from wastewater, and that's exactly what's happening with your teams as well.
Well, that's right. So it's not directly my team, but sort of the broader research community in this area now has so many different tools and data types available. So, for example, in the UK, they are sampling in many different sites wastewater, and you can detect really very tiny amounts of viral RNA. And in those circumstances, in principle, someone who may not even know that they're unwell, you could pick up the viral material from the wastewater and know that perhaps you want to focus some attention in that region.
So we hear that the UK is very proficient at doing this genomic sequencing, but if the rest of the world isn't doing it, is there an information gap there that it might be very significant?
There is. And yes, the UK set up a kind of collaboration of academics and the public health agencies to work on this at a large scale very early on. As I mentioned, other countries have started to catch up, the United States most notably. But it still is the case that if the virus is circulating at high levels anywhere, it has the opportunity to mutate, that can potentially pose a risk everywhere. And so we really hope that it'll be possible to build this genomic surveillance globally in other countries, as, for example, we're seeing from India right now. This particular variant that was first seen there is now being seen in lots of other places, and we're playing catch up a bit to understand exactly what its mutations mean.
What's your view of this COVID virus? Do you think it'll keep mutating?
I think viruses always keep mutating, and this one will probably be no different. I'm hopeful that if we can really get the vaccine campaign momentum kept up, and especially exporting it and helping to make sure it's delivered in other countries around the world, then we can get to a place where we won't have huge amounts of outbreaks of this virus. We might have to update the vaccines, but I think it's possible at least we can keep ahead of it, and in a few years' time get to a place where it's not going to be such a massive impact on our lives.
Do we know yet whether we'll need annual booster vaccines or have to go back just for a top-up?
Yeah, I don't think we know yet, just because we don't have the long-term data yet on how long the protection lasts, and we don't know if we need to update the vaccines in response to new variants of the virus. I would guess that it may well be that this becomes a kind of annual vaccination, which, again, once we've kind of got on top of things and are out of the pandemic crisis, is probably not too difficult a thing to do, to have an annual top-up. And so I think that's certainly one way we might get out of this.
And just to go back to the so-called Indian variant in the UK, is that being seen predominantly in vaccinated people or unvaccinated people, or is there a particular age cohort?
The data are early, but so far the biggest increase in cases of this variant, B16172, are in younger age groups. And that's a bit reassuring because, of course, they're the less likely to be vaccinated. So we have not yet seen a kind of substantial uptick in infections in older age groups. We have to watch and see. But that's one of the kind of reassuring pieces of evidence that the vaccines are holding their ground.
Okay, so the vaccine's working is what that's telling you so far.
So far, we hope so.
So just in general terms, the area that you work in, genomic sequencing, it's incredibly new, isn't it?
Well, the change in the kind of scope of what we can do in recent years is just amazing. So the kind of speed and the increase of speed and the decrease of cost of generating genome sequences means we can look at this virus in exquisite detail. There's close to 2 million viral genomes that have been sequenced around the world and shared publicly. And that means we really can watch this, you know, sort of in such fine detail compared to what we've been able to do in previous infectious diseases. So in some sense, we're very lucky that this epidemic hit at a moment when we have some of these technologies available to us.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Dr. Jeffrey Barrett, Director of the COVID-19 Genomics Initiative at the Sanger Institute. We have lots of texts coming in this morning about gift vouchers and whether they're having the value taken off them, ticking down because they haven't been used over the past year. We're going to be discussing your consumer rights with Siobhan Maguire a little bit later on in the programme. So do keep the questions coming in. 51551 is the text number, or you can email todaycb@rte.ie.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.